It's always good to be with the people of God. Never want to take that for granted. Always want to be mindful how blessed we are to be together. I do want to say from the onset, if you had a handout, number four, there's a typo. It should be flies, not lice. So I apologize for that. But other than that, I think everything else is okay. Remember on last week, we were talking about Moses, and we were in Hebrews chapter 11, 23 through 29. Brother Hightower, do you have one? And as I was studying and looking at some of the things that Moses had to go through in Egypt, but then the transition out of Egypt. And I got kind of caught up looking at the plagues and looking at how God was doing some magnificent things with those plagues. And so I want us to consider for a few minutes, if you have your handout, I want you to kind of fill in the blank if that's your desire, but I did want to at least give it to you. Because when we are considering what God did in, and I don't want to give away too much too early, but I'll say this, in demonstrating his power, you look at those 10 plagues and it makes for a real nice VBS. However, God was making a serious point. And when I say a serious point, I mean one point he was trying to make, and he was trying to drive it home, and he drove it home. And so one thing I'm hoping that we will appreciate that God, the one who knows how to drive a point home, not just to the enemies of God, but also to his own people. And so I want us to be considering these things. In Exodus chapter 7, and I gave a little handout for the children with some coloring so they can kind of have an idea. They can be coloring and listening at the same time. And this is not a sermon, so this is something that I want us to be talking about. But hopefully we'll get through this information. In chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, not going to spend a lot of time with all of these, but we know that God turned the river or the water into blood. There was a reason why he did that, okay? And so we'll talk more about that here in a few minutes. So he turned the river or water into blood. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, we have the plague of the what? Of the frogs. The plague of the frogs. Now, I want to make a point here with the plague of the frogs. Okay? If you take notice of chapter 8 and look at verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all of your territory with frogs. So the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into your house, into your bedroom, in your bed, into the houses of your servants, on your people, into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls." Where were the frogs going to be, friends? Everywhere. Now, I want us to think about this. Frogs were going to be everywhere. Brother Lane, do you have an extra copy for him? Brother Lane in the back. Huh? I'll take yours. Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Eric said he was holding his copy for me, so I appreciate that. Now frogs were going to be everywhere. Now, I need us to get this in our minds, because now we're going to see that Moses was going to be approaching Pharaoh about letting the people of God go. OK, now look at verses 5-9. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. Then Moses called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go, that they may sacrifice to the Lord. So Moses did what he wanted him to do. And now notice verse number 10. Brother Chad, read verse number 10 for us. And I want us to take notice when Pharaoh wanted the frogs to be gone. Okay? Go ahead.
So he said, tomorrow, and he said, let it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like the Lord our God.
Yes, verse 11.
The frogs shall depart from you, from your houses, from your servants, and from your people. They shall remain in the river only.
Now, when did Pharaoh want the frogs to be gone? Tomorrow? Now, hold on. Frogs, they don't smell good. They're slimy. I don't personally like them personally. That's just my personal opinion. Some people like to cook them and eat frog legs. They say it tastes like chicken. I don't care. I won't know. Won't ever know. But I don't want no frogs. And they're everywhere, in the bed, in the oven, everywhere. So he goes to Pharaoh and he says, when do you want me to entreat the Lord? He says, tomorrow. What does that imply? What does that teach us? What does that teach us? You would think he would have said now. Do this right now. Which means that he had to spend another what? Another night with the frogs. Let us think about this for a second. Pharaoh, you could tell when a person is not in their right mind. Pharaoh's not in his right mind. What would some of y'all would have said? Right now. Here's a question. How quick should we get rid of sin? Eek. Right. What if we had the mentality like Pharaoh had? Well, you know, I think I'll wait till tomorrow to stop doing that. Why? Pharaoh, why? Why wait till tomorrow when you can do it when? Right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. And Royce helped me out. For some reason, I got brain lock on this. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Yeah, it is. It's verse 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, when? Now is the day of salvation. You would think all of these frogs, Brother Randy, Brother Nate, you would think that Pharaoh would have said, entreat the Lord now, get these frogs out of here. But he says, tomorrow. What can we learn from that? Real quick, what can we learn from that?
Not trusting God that he can do it now.
All right, not trusting God that he can do it now, but keep in mind this is Pharaoh, but yeah, okay, what else? What can we learn?
Not thinking very clearly.
That's true. Brother Jerry?
Maybe he was trying to show that he had some authority. So he
okay.
It off.
Okay. What can we learn from our own personal lives? Alex, you want to say something? Yes. He was testing him. And you would think he would pass the test by saying, now. Why spend another night with the frogs? Yes, ma'am. Okay. I like that. I hadn't thought about that point. Sometimes we do that, don't we? Good. That's right. That's good. So we can learn that procrastination is not good. If you can handle something, handle it when, handle it now. All right. Back to your handout. You have flies, chapter 8, verse 20 through 32. The livestock will be struck with disease. The livestock will be struck with disease. That's number five. Lice is flies. All right, before class started, I said it was a typo. I did? All right, so three, lice is chapter 8, verses 16 through 19. And number five, livestock will be struck with disease. And number six, boils is there. Number seven, hail. And we'll learn something here in a few minutes about this hail that's very interesting. All right, then you have locusts. Of course, the darkness. And the last, the death of the firstborn. Okay? All right, let's look at Exodus chapter 9. And anytime you want to make a comment, please do, okay? In Exodus chapter 9, we'll see, why did God plague the Egyptians? Why did he do this? Okay? Why did he do this? In Exodus 9, in verse number 16 and 17, but indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, talking about Pharaoh, that I may do what? God wanted to show his power over the Egyptians, over Pharaoh, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. In all the earth. Now, this is an important point here later on that we're going to get to, because we're going to see that other nations actually heard about what took place in Egypt. Well, hold on, Brother Chad. They didn't have internet. How did they hear about it? All right. They heard about this. But that's the reason why God wanted to do this. He wanted everybody to be put on notice. I'm the God of the earth. Not now, who was Pharaoh during this particular time? He was a what power? Supreme world power. That's like America right now. Can we agree on that? Right now, America is a world power. Okay? When something goes down in America, usually all of the continents find out, they know about it. Okay? So here, Pharaoh being a world power, and God wanted to demonstrate to everybody that I have the power to take down the world power. What does that do for our confidence right now? What should that do for our confidence? I didn't hear you. It ought to shift our confidence to where it belongs. What else? What should that do with our confidence or for our confidence?
Should increase it more toward God.
Okay. So here we have the God of the universe bringing down a world power like it's nothing. What does that tell us about Jehovah? Because he's supreme. What else?
Watch out.
Sister Nona said, watch out. In Romans 8, verse 31, The Bible says, what shall we say to these things? If who? God is for who? Who can be what? 1 John 4 and verse number 4. Greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. When I first obeyed the gospel and a brother showed me those passages, it took my confidence to a whole new level. A whole new level. And I asked him, I remember Nate like it was yesterday, are you telling me that the God that created everything is for little old me? He said, it's exactly right. Hold on, doesn't God want us to have that confidence? And so now he's demonstrating his power over this world power. That ought to do something to our confidence, okay?
Dad, we say it all the time. He's King of Kings, Lord.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Look at number two, under why did God plague the Egyptians? Why did he plague them? Okay? Why did he plague them? In chapter 7, in verse number 17, and this is really why it was hard for me to come off of the plagues, because I was learning new things. I'm like, whoa, where? Mike, pay attention to what God is teaching here. In chapter 7, verse number 17, notice what the Bible says. And I put, I am, and notice what he says, I am the Lord. Now notice verse number 17. Thus saith the Lord, by this you shall know that I am the Lord. Now this is with the first plague, okay? Look at chapter 8, verse 22. Chapter 8, verse 22, with the fourth plague, with the flies. And in that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, in order that you may know that I am what? In the midst of the land. So you get a little bit more information about why God is doing what he's doing with these plagues, Brother Raphael. He's not just doing this just to be doing it. He's not putting these plagues on these people just to be doing it. He wants them to know, I am the God of this land. I'm the one that's running this show. All right? Look at chapter 9 and verse 14. In chapter 9 and verse number 14, and I put all of these that I'm giving you in a green highlight because I wanted to remember them. In chapter 9, verse number 14, this is under the plague of hail. Hail and fire, to be exact. Verse number 14, it says, for at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people. Notice why. That you may know that there is what? None like me in the earth. Brother Stephen, is there anyone like God? There's no one like God. So God is making a point. He says, I'm not playing. You're going to suppress my people, oppress my people. You're not going to let my people go after I've told you, let them go. Okay, I'm going to demonstrate to you that there's no one like me. No one like me. Any comments real quick? Any comments? Look at verse 29. Still under hail. For some reason, God wanted to make that point twice with this one. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hand to the Lord. Thus thunder will cease and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth belongs to who? Belongs to God. There is a passage in the book of Job. I wish I would have thought about this. I think it's when God was questioning Job, and he was talking about the treasures of the snow. God has treasury above us. And there's a whole bunch of stuff in it. And so here God uses hell to literally beat down the animals and the people who didn't believe that he was going to do it. Now, I found this pretty interesting. Look at verse number. Look at verses 18 through 20. 18 through 20 of chapter 9. Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now, meaning the creation. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field. For the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die. Now, notice verse 20. He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of who? Made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. So there was some that was of Pharaoh's camp that was actually believing what Moses was saying. You know what that also teaches us? I mean, if we just do our part and living the right life and getting the gospel out, there's some out there that just might hear us. Actually want a better life. They actually believe what Moses was saying. Hey, go get the servants out of it. Get the animals out of the field. Why? Because look what God did before. Why would he be lying now? Right? What does that teach us right now? What does that teach us? Okay, good. There's other people watching. Anyone else? What else that does this teach us?
Believe what God says.
All right. Believe what God says. What else? If Olivia doesn't mind, her and I was talking yesterday, and we was talking about Abimelech and Abraham. And remember what Abraham did? He lied to Abimelech. This is my sister. But why did he lie, Olivia? But why? What did he say? He did not think that the fear of God was in this place. What does that teach us? Don't be judging people wrongly. You don't know who might hear what God's word has to say. Right? Well, no, he might not want it. I don't talk to him. Why not? Just throw it out there. It's the seed, the parable of the sower. Just throw it out there. And what's going to happen with the good hearts, the good soil? They're going to produce fruit. I learned something the other day. Only good soil produce fruit. Those other three didn't produce anything. Everybody doesn't produce fruit. Only good hearts produce fruit. Okay? Any comments? Y'all quiet tonight. Y'all talking bunched on Sunday. Maybe y'all waiting for Sunday when Chad teaches. Say again. Job 38:22. Thank you. Thank you. Was that the treasures of the snow? Treasures of hail. There it is. Good. Can you believe that? God has a treasury up there. He got a whole bunch of stuff in it. He can use it at his disposal. And the Bible says that the hail was so large and heavy, it was killing things left and right. God is not playing. That ought to teach us that God is serious. So look at chapter 10, verse 2. Any comments before I go any further? I think this is my favorite one right here, chapter 10, verse 2. What was God doing? Okay. What did he want them to know? I think this is my favorite one out of all of them. Verse 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart in his heart, in the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your sons and your sons' sons the mighty things that I have done in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." He wanted them to tell their children and tell their children's children. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Can't remember where it is, but it's in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to say chapter 4 or 6, one of them, where God said there was a generation of children in whom there is no faith. Friends, we're seeing a lot of that today. We're seeing a lot of children without faith. They're not even exposed to the faith. Here, God tells Moses, "Tell your children and your children's children about what I did to them." God, what are you doing? I'm freeing my people. He don't want to let them go. He'll let them go after I get through with them. Look at letter C. Brother Royce, they're going to do the last leaders tonight. I guess what we can do is after the class, just go ahead and just let them do that. Is that okay? All right. So we'll just, once class is over, then it'll be yours. All right, Brother Chad? Okay. Letter C, the far-reaching effects of the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. Yes. Yes, sir. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's right. So, passing down the tradition of God's word into the hearts of our children and children's children. And also what that demonstrates and teach us is that he wanted the children and the grandchildren to know that they didn't have to fear Pharaoh. The same God that we're serving defeated Pharaoh in the past. We're not fearing you. We know what our God did to you. We don't have to fear you. Question. Be honest with yourself. Should we really fear Satan? Think about what our Lord did to him. Took him out. No wonder James 4:4. Draw near unto God, and he'll do what? Mm-hmm. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So what is God teaching us? Stay close to my son, and he'll take care of your enemies. He took care of your enemy at your baptism. He'll take care of your enemies after your baptism. Okay? Look at Exodus chapter 18. In Exodus chapter 18, verses 7 through 12, we see the far-reaching effects of the plague and the parting of the Red Sea. In Exodus 18, I'm not going to read all of this, but we come across Moses and Jethro. They greet one another. And Moses is just excited about what just happened. So tell me, somebody tell me, what just happened? What just happened? Anybody? What just happened? Why is he so excited that he needs to tell his father-in-law? What just happened? All right, he just defeated Pharaoh and his army. What else? Say again. All right, now, and he didn't just cross the Red Sea. What? Say again. He split it. How did God split the Red Sea? Say again. He had a strong east wind come all that night. It's something about an east wind. It's always hot. It's always hot. He had a strong east wind come all that night. And then what else did Moses see? I can't hear you. Okay, many other wonders and signs. But he saw something. He saw something in the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. Now, what made the crossing of the Red Sea so powerful? What did they cross on? Dry ground. Come on, y'all. That amazes me. When God created the heavens and the earth, the sea bottom was mud. God has a strong east wind come all that night, and you have well over what? A couple million people? Is that, Brother Chad? I still need to do my homework on that one. I will. But all of those people cross on dry ground. What does that teach us? That God has the power to do some amazing things if we just get out the way and let him do it. Another thing it teaches us, that Moses saw some things he ain't never seen before. Oh yes, he had a lot to tell Jethro. He did. Now remember, this is the same father-in-law, the same Jethro that say, all right, go on to Egypt. Go on to Egypt. And he returns victorious. In Exodus 14 and verse number 13, Moses tells the children of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In verse number 30, I believe it is, and the Lord saved Israel that day. He didn't wait. And so then they have this great celebration in chapter 15. And then now you go into chapter 18, and he's sitting in a tent with Jethro, and he's telling them everything that just took place. And now notice, look at verse number 11. And now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. For in this, in the very thing in which they behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro's mother, father-in-law, sorry about that, took a burnt offering and sacrifice to offer to God. He was so excited and so reverent that he wanted to offer up a sacrifice to God. Yes, sir. That's right. Why do we doubt God? That's a good... Yes, ma'am.
Just a point that... Well, you just said that Moses said, be still and see God's salvation. God turned around and said, what are you calling on me for? Get a move and raise your rod. So God had directions for him to do. There are times to be still, but there's times for action.
That's right. So there's a time to move. They couldn't stay in Egypt. God wanted to drown the enemies, and he did that. And so in these first seven verses, we see from 7 to 12, we see something very powerful that's worthy of our attention. But he was sharing those things. Look at Joshua chapter 2 and verse number 10. Even Jericho heard of the parting of the Red Sea. And so I started looking at the map and the location of Jericho. And I think it's a little bit over 100 miles. They heard about what took place at the parting of the Red Sea. And that's not even counting once they crossed the Red Sea and the kings that they defeated, Sihon and Og. The word was getting out just like God wanted it to get out. He didn't want it to stay in Egypt. He didn't want it to stay with his people. He wanted surrounding nations to hear what I did to the world leader. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 8, under this category, I think this is probably one of them. Yes, sir.
Also, think about there's been a whole lot of time passed between
that's right.
two events, and it's still a strong power of the sword.
That's right. Isn't it interesting? It's been 2,000 years since Jesus died on the cross, and it's still a powerful story. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 8, the Philistines, which is roughly about 65, 70 miles in that area, but they're near the Mediterranean Sea. Man, how did they hear about this? Even they heard about it. In 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse number 8, here the Philistine leader says this, "Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness." Now notice what he tells his men in verse 9. "Be strong and conduct yourself like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight." Where do we find that in the New Testament? Where do we find it? Where do we find that in the New Testament? Where do we find it? What verse? Y'all remember? Look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. Look at 1 Corinthians 16:13. And Royce, I was thinking, like, did Paul grab that from the writings and from the Philistines? What does 1 Corinthians 16:13 say? Someone read that. That's it. One version, I believe, is the King James Version, says, "Quit ye like men, be the man." So here, the Philistine army leader, he's reminded of what took place in Egypt. Now they're here. Okay? Any comments?
I think it's a good testament to God's justice. Nowadays, a lot of people like to really focus on his benevolence, his mercy, his grace.
Okay.
But here, you know, with there being a law that he's established, there are consequences for breaking his laws.
That's right.
The laws were broken, there were consequences.
That's right.
But he still, especially with the plague of the hail, the people who were following Pharaoh that obeyed, they were saved.
That's right.
So there was still a reward for obedience, despite them being Egyptians, which shows his justice. And the fact that if you obey him, he will save.
That's an excellent point, because when the children of Israel were about to cross the Red Sea, there were some Egyptians that went with them. Where is that passage? Where are we? Read Exodus 14 and you'll find it. For real, you'll find it. It's amazing that some of the Egyptians, they left Pharaoh and they went with the children of Israel. It's a great lesson for us. Don't count no one out, okay? Don't count no one out. And what are we doing now? I posted a few minutes ago, "Few be there that find it, hashtag Jesus." Jesus said that. It's not, you're not, nobody's judging. That's the way it is. Few that's going to find it. Well, you had those 10 plagues. And I love what Brother Nate just said as it relates to the justice of God. But God knew that those who were in Egypt, he knew there was going to be some that was going to come out of that. It was going to come out of that. So these 10 plagues, they weren't just something that God did arbitrarily, just something off the cuff, something he just kind of thought up. No, he knew that some people was going to come out of bondage. All right. Letter D. Any comments before we go any further? Yes, ma'am.
You said earlier, you asked, why do we not, I think you said, fear God or
trust him?
Trust him.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did, or I think sometimes I feel like because things aren't done right now, because God is asking us to wait. He's asking us to be patient. And so in that sense, you know, our enemies aren't defeated right in front of us. We we don't always get to see the Pharaoh's army drowned in front of us.
That's a good point.
Or in the time in which we feel we need. And so because there are some things that are not happening right then, whether it be the punishment for or the consequence for doing something wrong or the reward for doing something right, we lose heart. And in losing heart, it takes away, I think, our fear of God or even our trust in God as it did for them at this time.
That's a great point. That's a great point. Look at number two under letter D. That's only... We only have time for that because I want to look at letter E. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse number 11, I just read over it, but now I want to bring out something specific in that verse. Jethro tells us why they were destroyed, why the Egyptians were destroyed. In verse number 11, "Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved," what? "Proudly." What will God always do with the proud? He will humble them. So their trust was, these were their gods. And here you have Jehovah, who is the God of this earth. They're going to know that I'm the God in this land. I'm going to bring them down to their proverbial knees. And he did. He did. All right. Any final thoughts on that? Look at letter E. I got to make a choice on which one I want. We'll do chapter 10 since we already looked at chapter 8. The plague of darkness, 21 through 29. And let's see what we can learn from this, and then I'm going to stop. I'm going to ask Scott to lead a song, and then I'm going to say a word or two for an invitation, and then let Chad say something, do his presentation. Verses 21 through 29. "Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven and there was thick darkness." Have you ever been in a place where it was so dark you could feel it? One thing I can't stand is dark. Man, I need night lights and stuff like that, boy. Anyway, let me stop telling on myself. Anyway, let's keep reading. "Thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days," verse 23. "They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had" what? "Had light in their dwelling." That's interesting. God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. The Holy Spirit is light. The Word of God is light. Christians are supposed to be the light of the world. We're light in the midst of darkness. You see the contrast there? And so God's people, they had light, but Egypt, Pharaoh and his people, they didn't have light. Verse 24. "Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you." Now notice what Moses says. "But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. I don't know about y'all, but that probably would have caused me to think if I was Pharaoh. It takes a real man to tell another man that. So he says, no, you're right. You ain't going to see my face no more. Yes. That's right. It's good. It's real good. All right. Brother Scott, and then... real quick, 22 and 23. One thing about the gospel message, just want to offer the invitation for anyone who needs special prayer, anyone who's thinking about studying to obey the gospel. One thing that we don't want to have is the type of heart that Pharaoh had. In Exodus 7, verse 22 and 23, then the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments, and Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them. Meaning he didn't listen. He didn't do what they said. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. Verse 23, and Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither was his heart moved by this. The last thing we want is to have the type of heart that when we hear what God's word says, it does nothing to us. We just kind of shrug our shoulders at it. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 8, that's what they did. They shrugged their shoulders at the Lord. We don't want to be like that. And so, just want to give this word of encouragement. Let's always have tender hearts, moldable hearts, pliable hearts that God can work through our lives, and we can be the people that God will have us to be. Maybe you're not a child of God. We want you to consider, never want you to be hard-hearted toward the gospel, toward the good news. And the gospel is the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ. When we consider the gospel, one must hear the gospel, must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of their sins and confess Christ to be Lord and be buried in water for the remission of their sins. And God will do something amazing in your life, and that save you. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and God will give you the crown of life. So if there is anyone that needs to respond by special prayer or obeying the gospel, please let that be known.